Nearport 7 was within the core, but its desolation reminded Obi-Wan of an outer rim planet. It was a cold, barren moon with only one small settlement. The buildings were built with thick blocks of stone designed to keep out the cold wind. Nearport 7 was one of seven moons in a small system that was notable only because it was a convenient refueling stop on the way to Coruscant. At least the moon was small, Obi-Wan told himself. The population was clustered around the refueling station. It did not take him long to locate several people who had known Grant Omega. That was the good news. The bad news was that no one knew very much about him. There was only one cafe on Nearport 7, and it was next to the refueling station. The cafe was called Food and Drink, and the owner turned out to be as cut and dry as the title of his establishment. Never knew him personally. Heard of him. He left. Is there anyone else who would know him? Obi-Wan asked. Anybody who still lives here? He left 7 years ago.
Most folks leave in 3 years, the owner said. Can't take any more. Might try that trio in the corner, the owner said gruffly. They've stuck around. They were born here and they'll die here.
The three natives of Nearport sat around the table. Obi-Wan nodded a hello. They looked at him warily.
Jedi, one of them said. Never seen your kind here.
Obi-Wan eyed their empty glasses. Anyone for a refill? Their empty glasses were pushed away, and they looked at him hopefully. Obi-Wan signaled for another round.
Then I'll have the same, he told the bartender.
The drinks arrived. They clinked the smeared glasses. The trio decided to befriend him. Obi-Wan asked about Grant Omega, and they nodded.
He was a boy when he left, one said. Went to study somewhere, I think. His mother Tora died 2 years later. He never came back to see her.
Not even for the funeral, someone else said.
What about his father? Obi-Wan asked.
Never knew him, the first man said. Tora Omega showed up one day, got a job at the refueling station, had this 3-year-old boy. Nobody asked questions on Nearport 7.
Except for Jedi, another one said, and this caused them great amusement.
I could show you his house, the first man offered.
They walked out into the numbing cold. The ground was brittle with frost. They walked through the main street and then turned down a smaller road. It wasn't far to the outskirts of the settlement. The man pointed to a small house. It looked no different from the others. It was built with rounded walls and seemed to hunch against the wind.
That there is his house. A space pilot owns it now.
Obi-Wan peered into the window. The house was empty except for a stove and a bedroll. The room was small and low-ceilinged. Even with furniture, it would look bleak. There was nothing to see here.
You said his mother worked at the refueling station, Obi-Wan asked. Did she have a good job?
The man laughed.
If you call hauling lubricant hoses around all day for no money a good job.
So how did she manage to send her son to study off-planet? Obi-Wan wondered.
She had nothing to do with it, the man said. The boy had brilliance. Everybody knew that. She found him a sponsor on Erofa. He sent him to a scientific institute.
Do you know who the sponsor was? Obi-Wan asked. Does he still live on Erofa?
He lives on Coruscant now. Big fancy person now. He's a senator from Erofa. Name is Sanosoro, the man said.
Obi-Wan felt a chill. He knew Sanosoro. He was once a prosecutor. 10 years before, Obi-Wan had to undergo an investigation into a fellow Padawan's death. Soro had grilled him mercilessly about Brook Chun's fall. Obi-Wan looked down the street, then across the frozen wasteland. He could understand a boy wanting to leave this place. He could understand how poverty might mark him. But why Grant Omega wished harm on the Jedi, he still didn't know. He had a feeling that if he solved that mystery, he would find the man. Anakin had expected that after his breakthrough, his next practice session with Suara would bring him to the next level. Instead, she had him do more simple drills. At least this time he did not have to leave the temple. He had to activate his lightsaber from different positions, again and again. He had to practice a mid-air thrust. He had to practice a double reversal.
He had to practice moves he had done 1,000 times before. Not once did Suara mention the spaces between particles, or concentration, or the force. She just repeated, again, over and over, until he thought he would break his lightsaber hilt in two. And then the session was finished. Anakin leaned over, trying to catch his breath. He slammed his training lightsaber back in his belt. What he needed was something to eat and a fresh tunic. He took the long way back to his quarters in order to compose himself. The illumination banks were mimicking dusk as he passed by the lake. Suara had kept him a long time, and he had missed the midday meal. He had a feeling she had kept him deliberately. She wanted him to feel hungry and empty. She wanted to see how far he could push himself. He hoped he had passed the test.